Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Good morning and welcome to Flavor Coffee House Online Style. I am so excited this morning. A dear, dear friend of mine is going to stop by at the top of the hour, the author Black Poe, a.k.a. Travis V.P. Fox. And he's the author of Poison Ivy, the very first book that I ever reviewed as a professional book reviewer. And now he has a new release, which is In the Heart of the City, which he will talk about. But before I bring him in, I'm going to play a request that Travis asked that I play. So let me scroll down and find it, and hopefully it'll work. I hope everybody is doing well this morning. It's a cloudy morning here in Seattle, Washington, but I believe there's some blue skies and sunshine somewhere out there in the United States and across the globe. So hope you're enjoying and this Memorial Day weekend, and here we go with Travis's request.
Thank you.
All right. I'm excited, and I'm so very, very proud and honored to introduce to you my dear friend, Travis VP Fox, a.k.a. Black Poe. Poe, you on the line with me?
I am on the line with you. Good morning.
All right, Carolyn. Welcome to Flava Coffee House Online Radio Style. This is the first time you've been on the show with me.
No, I know. The first time. That's why I told you. I said, when I come back, I want your show to be the first show that I do. I'm so proud to be a part of this, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Well, I'm so excited to be able to introduce you to my listeners this way because you and I have history. You know, we go back a long, long time, Travis. And, you know, as you know, your book was the very first book that I ever read for a review as a professional book reviewer. So Poison Ivy, you know, pop that cherry for Lady Flava, so I'm appreciative of that also. So where do you want to start? You want to start with, like, talking about Poison Ivy? You want to talk about literature? Or you want to jump right into your new novel?
Before we start, I would like to introduce the rest of the members of, you know, Casement Entertainment, who've also, you know, been a real big influence and a real part of me here. I don't know. I told them to call in at 2. One is a 215 number. And the other is
the number. Yes, their lines are open also.
Are they in the queue?
I'm here.
Their lines are open.
Nicole and Flavor, how are you?
Hey, that sounds like Terrence.
Hello, Lady Flavor, how are you?
I'm very good. Nice to meet you.
Yes, I'm nice to meet you. I heard a lot about you. This is my first session.
Well, I've been hearing a lot about you also.
And
well, I'm excited to have you on the air with Travis.
I am also excited, also just along with the other viewers that are listening.
And I'm sorry if I can take it over the interview. I'm sorry, Susan. John,
no,
are you
that's
on?
All right.
Yeah, I'm here. All right. Now, who we have here, Lady Flavor? We have Terrence Daniels. He's my Vice President, the Vice President of Casement Entertainment. Me and this gentleman, and I'm pretty sure he'll get into it, we've been talking about this moment for like the past 7 to 8 years. You know, we've been brainstorming and planning. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, with me and you, you know, I go through my changes, and sometimes, you know, I fall and I go through things. But just like you, he's always been there for me. He's never left, and this moment he's always had. And so when we reconnected, it was like, boom, you know, like day one, like I never left. And Jonathan McKnight, he's Casement Entertainment's webmaster and graphic designer. I've known him for a good 10, 11 years, and, you know, he's like a little brother to me. And so, you know, he's a big influence and big part of this as well.
Very good. I'm excited about getting to know, you know, your colleagues and friends and finding out what the present and future lies for Casement Entertainment.
All right.
So with
okay,
that said, Travis, you know what, why don't we just give them a little bit of history about you as a writer? When did it start? At what age did it start for you?
Well, it started for me, you know, I learned how to, my mother, she taught me how to read and write at a young age. So around the age 2 or 3, I learned how to read and write. And from that point, I've always been, you know, really interested in writing and not just writing stories, you know, just trying to write different languages. You know, I tried to teach myself how to write, you know, in Japanese caricature. I tried to teach myself how to write Spanish and things of that nature. And so, you know, I realized that I had a gift. I entered a few writing contests when I was younger, and I won. You know, I was honored by the American Veterans Association for winning. In 8th grade, I was named one of the top 5 writers, you know, in the city of Philadelphia. I got to meet, like, Boys to Men and, you know, people like that. And interesting story, my mother, she used to work at a Western Union. I guess I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And, you know, being a kid and at a workplace, you get pretty bored. So I would always say, Mom, you know, can I have some paper? So I wrote my first book. It was a pretty graphic urban lit novel. You know, back in the day, my mother, she saw it and she ripped it up and threw it away because I had, you know, people getting shot and things like that. But, you know, from that point, you know, I knew that I would want to write. So, you know, through high school, I majored in, you know, English and creative writing. And, you know, in college, you know, went there, English and linguistic sciences. So I finally decided to put everything together. It was around 2004, 2005. You know, I was, you know, in days before, and, you know, me and the young lady, we were going through something. And, you know, writing, that was my way, you know, of staying sane, you know, not doing anything that I would regret. So I sat at my computer and I started to write a short story called Eve Revenge. And from there, you know, Eve Revenge turned into Poison Ivy. And it was published in 06, and the rest is history, as they say.
So how did you go about, you know, becoming a published author? I know the background, but the listeners don't. So was Poison Ivy self-published, or did you go through a publisher?
Poison Ivy, I went through a publisher. It was Q Borough Entertainment out of, you know, Jamaica, Queens, New York. And the way I did it, I like I tell a lot of other authors, I just went to every message board, every form that I could, because I wanted, you know, my voice to be out there and I wanted my name to be recognized. So I went to, you know, Coast to Coast Readers, .com, Triple Crown, you know, publications. They have a message board. I flooded my work on every different Yahoo group that I could find, and I made connections within the industry. And one of the main connections I made was a young lady named Kia Smith. She was probably the first person to really befriend me and offer me advice and tell me, you know, how to go about doing things. So she said, look, Poe, this is what you need to do. Get three chapters, your three best chapters, put it down, you know, get it together, and just post it on these forums. Somebody's going to recognize you. So I did that, and then I decided to submit those same sample chapters to Q Burrow. And I said, okay, let me take a shot. Then about a few days later, they called me back, and they wanted to read the rest of it. So we worked out a contract, worked out a deal, and I was signed to them. So it was with a lot of hard work and dedication and really just getting myself out there, getting my name out there.
So can you talk about, or if you don't want to talk about it, you know, just say so, but can we talk about what was your experience being with a publisher versus now being self-published?
Yeah, we could talk about it. I mean, it was pretty difficult. You know, I was very green. You know, I was a young guy, and I was just so happy that my book was published. I was so happy that somebody decided to take a chance on me. And through my own fault, I didn't take the time to really research and learn about contracts, learn about, you know, promotions, learn about things of that nature. I just wanted my book to be out. And in the beginning, you know, things were fine. You know, things were great. I was doing book signings, and, you know, I think I peaked at around 12,000 on Amazon, which was really good. You know, good reviews were coming in. But it got to a point where I felt that some things should have been done that weren't, and I guess Q Burrow felt that some things should have been done that weren't. And, you know, I can say this, it was a lot of immaturity on my part because I didn't take the proper steps and go through the proper channels that I needed to go through to ensure that things I wanted to get done got done. You know, I reverted back to my old self, and I went to, you know, doing freestyles and, you know, trying to do everything I could to get out of my contract. You know, in retrospect, I look back and, you know, that was wrong on my part, you know, but I was young, immature, and I just felt that my work, my vision, and my voice was being disrespected. You know, I should have went and really talked to the publisher to see what they thought. But, you know, there were a lot of things going on. And also I had to deal with, you know, some things from other authors within the industry. You know, it started to turn into a beef thing. You know, like in hip-hop, they have this rapper against that rapper. And, you know, different readers started to get involved and say, oh, Poe did this thing. And they would say, oh, Poe, this person did that thing. And, it really went back to a street mentality with me. And, you know, I really feel, looking back on it, like, man, that really cost me. Because Poison Ivy, when it peaked, you know, I had readers in Japan. I had readers in Australia, Austria. I had readers in, you know, the UK. I've had readers in Canada. You know, my book, my little Ermolit novel, went worldwide. But all of the mess and all of the junk and all the garbage caused that book to not be the success that I know it could have been. So, you know, now being self-published, you know, with my partners, you know, we control our own destiny. You know, we control our own fate. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, since I haven't put a book out, I've been gone. You know, I fizzled out, or, you know, the one-hit wonder, things of that nature. But what they don't know is I've still been in the industry. I've still been behind the scenes. I've still been mentoring and coaching and you know, providing a service to other authors that are out there. So I kept my eyes on the prize, so to speak. So I said, okay, when we put our novel out, we'll know how to market. We'll know how to distribute. We'll know how to deal with the bookstores. We'll know how to deal with the readers. And if other publishing companies want to work with us, we know to get everything copywritten first. We know to get our ISBN numbers. So, you know, now being self-published and, you know, being 30 and being older, there's no way that I'm going to have the same mistakes and do the same things that I did before.
I totally understand, Travis, and you know, and you and I, you know, met, you know, at the stage of when Poison Ivy came out, and I understand and appreciate what you just shared, because that is not necessarily a conversation that you and I've had recently.
Right.
I think that there has been growth, you know, on your part. I think there's been growth on my own part in being a part of the literary community, and you know, and there are these sidebar battles that go on, whether it be through publishers, whether it be through book reviewers or, you know, authors, whatever. There is a lot of hating going on, but, you know, I think a lot of it is how we go about, you know, what we choose to participate in and partake of, and where it is that we step up and just be an individual and say, you know, this is what works for me and what it doesn't. So I definitely can see, you know, the growth in you. You know, over the years, and maturity. And when I speak on maturity and when you speak on it, I believe it's not just because of an age thing. I think it's just growth, you know, because as you know, I'm getting ready to turn 50 years old, you know, but I'm still learning and growing. You know, I'm still maturing in what I'm doing. So so why don't I step over to speak with Terrence and Jonathan and ask the two of you, do you have a game plan when it comes to promoting and marketing in the heart of the city?
Yes, this is Mr. Daniels. My game plan
okay. For
promoting in the heart of the city, I'm new to it. I wouldn't know that me and Travis actually met in 2002. I was going through a loss, and right then and there I really wasn't emotionally ready to take on the responsibility that I have right now. And we were talking in 2002 inside of a store over numerous of times. I didn't even know who he was, but I seen a lot of people gathering around him and talking to him, and he was, you know, talking about, you know, stuff that I never, you know, heard, you know, the next man talk about. And 'cause I was, you know, always on the street, you know, doing my little side jobs and hanging out with friends and stuff like that. So one evening I came in, I was talking to the owner, the manager of the store I was in, and he, you know, he pushed over aside of me, you know. He said, you know, I said, you know, you're talking about positive things and you want to get somewhere. So he introduced himself, and he said, well, I'm Travis Fox, you know. And I seen a book bag on his right shoulder. And he said, you know, I'm going to school and everything like that, and I have a book coming out. I don't know when it's going to release. You know, maybe I'm thinking it'd be 2006. And so we kept talking and things. Said, you know, what you into? And I said, you know, I got a property. You know, at that time it was only one. And he said, I got a property that I own, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting maybe two or three more. And he's like, oh, no, you know, that's good. You know, I appreciate that. And I was like, yeah. So I'm just trying to do my thing. And right now I went through a loss. I lost a friend of mine through a head-on collision. And that was really, really hard on me. And he was there for me when nobody else wasn't. You know, even the people that were there for me, you know, I tried to, you know, stay away from them a little, you know, because I was always with them throughout the years. But I wasn't getting supported mentally like I should, you know, with them. And he was right by my side at that time. So our relationship bloomed as friends and stuff like that. And, you know, we liked most of the same thing. And he introduced me, I believe, in 2007 or 2008, I believe. And he called me and he said, Mr. Daniels, you know, I like your responsibility. You know, I think we'll be great friends in the future. And he said, how would you like to be a part of Casement Entertainment? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I would like to make you more responsible. I would like to make you vice president. And Miss Flavor, this is probably the best moment of my life. I never felt close to someone ever in my life when he told me, you know, I would like for you to be the vice president of Kids Entertainment. And I started to hang the phone up on him, you know, because I was so happy, you know. And I kept listening to him, and I said, when I hang up this phone, you know, I'm going to hang up this phone, and I'm just going to go for a long walk. And that's exactly what I did. And after I finished talking to him, I told a couple of people I didn't get the response that I thought I was going to get. You know, I got a response where, you know, you can't do that, you're not smart enough, you know, it takes a lot of time to do that. And I thought to myself, you know, yes, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, in the next couple of weeks, you know, he's going to come, you know, we're going to talk face-to-face, he's going to give me the ropes, and he's going to give me the insides and outs. And then I thought to myself, just like you just asked, you know, where do I see myself with the company, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years down the line? Well, that, to answer that question, is I really can't predict what I'm going to be doing 15, 20 minutes from now because of my faith. So I'm going to say, you know, I hope, and I'm willing to go as far as I can, not to make money off the deal or with this company, but to make people say, you know, hey, that guy is with Casement Entertainment, the vice president. This book that they have is an awesome book. I like their products. I want to work with them. I want to go as far as I possibly can with this company. That's why I see ourselves in 5 years, is people, a household name, as a great product, not a bunch of rich guys walking around with you know, gold and platinum on our necks, and we got these beautiful cars. But I want our company to be a household name. I want to expand our company. I want to do a lot of things with this company. So that's why I see ourselves in maybe 5 or 6 years as a really big household name, you know, things like that, of that nature.
So Terrence, do you have a game plan as far as, you know, what you and Travis and Jonathan plan on doing to make that become a reality?
Yeah, well, right now, to learn the ins and outs of the game, the job is already done. You know, we've already, you know, laid down the foundation. We have with Jonathan, our graphic designer, we have the vice president, which is me. We have the CEO. And with us and the way we think, we'll get everything done. Our game plan is set. With In the Heart of the City, we do have multiple sequels en route. And our first project right now and first thought is to get In the Heart of the City out on the market, to get In the Heart of the City read, to get these reviews. So when we get these reviews out, these editors can say, you know, well, this book was well done. You know, this is not a book that we just put together, you know, just threw together and just say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It was well put together. Not only was it well put together, but it was well thought out. This is not something that your average reader brings out and you say, oh, I'm with, you know, a certain superstar and never been with a certain superstar. These are not lies in this book, you know. When we did this book, we went way, way out to write about what really happened in certain situations instead of fabricating it. Even though this is a fictional book, everything that you read in this book is true. My character is true, besides the overall damage that I've done in this book. I've never done that damage, but my character, the way I think and the way I do things is true. And that's what I love about the way Travis writes.
Okay, so maybe we need to stop there, Terrence, because our listeners don't know that you actually have a character in this book. So maybe you should talk about that.
All right, you want me to pick up? I'll pick up on it. All right, yeah, like he was saying, with our game plan, you know, when I first came into the industry, Flavor, you know, I was gung-ho. I was running through walls, head, you know, full speed without any padding on. And, you know, it worked for the short term, but for the long term it didn't work. So what I've done and what I tell John and T to do, research and learn. Research and learn. Go online, look up contracts. Go online, look at as many different publishers as you can. You know, as far as John being our graphic designer, he'll tell you something all the time. Go to Amazon, look at book covers. Go to these authors' websites and look at their websites. And don't just stick with Urban Lit. Go far beyond that, because I want us to be able to compete with these guys, and also I want us to be able to take one step forward and do something that these guys aren't doing. So it's one step at a time we're doing. Like you say, we want everyone to read the book. So we're going, you know, word of mouth pyramid for right now until, you know, we can make the money, because I don't want to make the mistake that a lot of self-publishing authors and companies do. They print out 1,000 books but don't have any marketing behind them. You know, there are a few companies, you know, a few small, you know, promotional companies emailing and saying, you know, we can represent you. But, you know, the old travelers would have said, okay, yeah, here's $50. You know, get me on as many radio shows as you can. Get me on as many, you know, magazine interviews as you can. But now, you know, everyone that emails me, I look at their body of work. I look at their clientele's body of work. And if I don't see these guys stretching beyond Urban Lit or stretching beyond the New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia area, then I won't work with them, because this is a book that we strongly believe in. I've researched my tail off, you know, to make this book a success. So I want to sit on Oprah's couch one day. You know, that's the fictional, you know, yard marker for every author, to sit on Oprah's couch. But, you know, I said to me, I want to, you know, be on TV doing an interview. I want to be able to go into universities and high schools and grade schools and speak to the young authors or the young English majors. I want to be able to, you know, go to Russia, where certain parts of the book, you know, are written. Go to little Odessa in New York. Go to Japan. Go to London and say, you know, I wrote this book because I wanted to show my appreciation, you know, for your guys' culture. So, I mean, that's our game plan, is to really do things. Take our time, but hurry up. Move slow, but move fast, if that makes any kind of sense.
Also, I had in the midst of meeting Travis, I met another young lady who's been supporting me ever since, you know, the vice president. Her friend's name is Gwendolyn Hackett. She's a songwriter for Sony, and she's been writing her own music, you know, since childhood. And when I'm away and I can't search these book clubs, or I can't make these calls, or can't, you know, go online and do anything, you know, I leave it up to her, because she's very responsible. You know, I'll call her and, you know, I'll say, you know, hey, Gwendolyn, you know, can you search some book clubs for me? Can you search some things for me? I'll be at work. Just email me, you know, the possibilities or the information that I need. And she's always been there for me. Like last night, I was at work, and she called me about 5 in the morning. And she said, you know, did you get your book clubs and stuff like that? I said, yeah, I checked online and stuff like that. So when I get up in the morning, you know, I'll research them, you know, see what their reviews are about. You know, see if they're even worth talking to. I mean, how are they going to help me in case of entertainment, you know, get ahead of the game. So I've sat down on my own and done a lot of research, you know. And Travis, no, you know, at one time I was calling him so much, it sounded like he was getting distraught from me calling him. You know, I really want this, you know. I mean, especially somebody like me. You know, I was never considered the type that would go to school and get an education or anything like that. I was always the type that said, hey, you know, I'm going to make it on my own way. So when Travis gave me that responsibility of being a vice president, you know, I said, oh, man, where am I going to take this company? You know, he's dependent on me. You know, when I talk on these radio shows, they don't want to hear Mr. Day. They want to see the vice president. They want to see the man behind, they're going to see the face behind the man. They want to see all of that. So it's
right.
Oprah, you know, I want to be on shows like that. I want to be, you know, on more radio shows. I want to be introduced to more popular people, you know. The book show, I forget what it's called, coming in July. What is it called?
The Harlem
Book Fair. I was maybe a couple of weeks after me and Travis, you know, got acquainted as friends and everything. He told me about the Harlem Book Fair, and he gave me the URL. I go online. I've seen him talking online, and I said, "Hey, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of hot. You know, I wouldn't mind that. So I'm going to do everything I possibly can to push K-Smith Entertainment full speed, and I hope Jonathan will also, because Jonathan was here way before I came in the picture, you know.
Okay.
And for Travis, for him to even consider me at this position is wonderful, because there was also someone before me, Kia Smith, I heard, and tragically,
mm-hmm.
she lost her life from a sickness. I didn't really get into the details with Travis about it, but she was before me. You know, it would have been Jonathan, Travis, and Kia Smith, you know. So
right.
For him to, you know, come along and say, hey, you know, Mr. Daniels, you know, I want to make you this, I want to make you that, you know. I mean, that's a wonderful opportunity, and I don't really want to disappoint not only the fans, but him also.
Well, Terrence, I can tell you this, you know, I mean, from the time that Travis and I started working on In the Heart of the City, you know, 2 years ago, I mean, he's only raved about you. He has only put a great deal of faith, you know, and he wants you on board. So, I mean, I could feel it in him, you know, back then of when the creation of K-Smith Entertainment came about. And, you know, I can hear it in your voice right now, you know, the passion, you know, the hard work and determination that you are willing to put into making this a success, not only for yourself, but for the whole, you know, for the whole group. So, you know, I can tell you on my end, Travis and I have had a lot of conversations around you. So, you know, you are very deserving. So, you know, y'all are going to get there. And the thing is I'll put it out to all three of you. Travis knows that just because I have a history with him. But, you know, Lady Flava, Susan Koshy, Flava News is totally behind anything that Travis is involved in. And now as I get to know, you know, you and Jonathan, definitely, you know, I put my name on that too, because I have all the faith in anybody that Travis brings on board, you know, with whatever he does. You know, and so I'll step in, you know, just for a minute to give a little bit of history, you know, on Travis and I and this book that he's going to be reading an excerpt from In the Heart of the City. You know, Travis and I spent hours on the phone over the internet, you know, as he wrote this. And I have to say that I'm just honored and very, very privileged. And I feel like I've just given birth to another baby, you know, to have this book, you know, finally come out, because, you know, I can honestly say I was there from day one. The thing that I love about page one, and the thing I love about Travis that I learned from him back in the days of Poison Ivy is he's not a writer that just writes. He's a researcher. He will get on the internet. He will watch the History Channel. He will. I'll be on the phone and he'll be watching some bizarre stuff. I'm like, what the hell are you doing watching that? You know, I mean, even if it goes to boxing. You know, I mean, it's just the things that he watches, he reads, he researches, it all has a purpose. And generally it has a purpose in him growing and developing characters in his books. And so when it came down to In the Heart of the City, you know, I was online, you know, doing research on the you know, on cultures and the Russian culture, you know, my own culture, you know, Japanese. The Japanese culture and all of that. And so, I mean, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I mean, I couldn't tell you the many hours, which, Terrence, I know you probably went through too, since you are a character in this book, that, you know, we spent, you know, with the development and growth and creation of this particular novel. So, Travis, I have to tell you that I love you, and I thank you so much for that opportunity, because just in that, you know, that helped me grow as a person, and that helped me grow as somebody who has a great love and passion for literature. So, and then I also have to say, which I'm very proud of, my family's in this book too. So I get killed off. Okay. That's not even cool, you know. So, Terrence, you're going to have to work on Travis on the next book if I get to have a character, because I get killed off very quickly in this book. But, you know, my daughter's name is in there, my father's name is in this book, and so I'm very, very excited and proud of that.
Yeah, like you were saying, for Travis to have favor, like he's had a favor for me since day one, since I've met him. This was in 2002. And for him to give me opportunity to be with his company like this from 2002 to 2006, 2007 is a very, very short time to give someone an opportunity that you rarely know. I mean, you're talking about opportunity that the average person with friends that he knew for 15, 16 years didn't get. You know, so for somebody to have this type of favor, some type of promise, and say, hey, look, Mr. Daniels, you know, I want you to be more to this company than what you are. You know, just somebody mm-hmm. that I come ask advice for, anything like that. For him to do that mm-hmm. is like an awesome, I mean, it's like an awesome, awesome thing. It was like a brother, a little brother.
Right.
Coming to a big brother,
yeah.
You know, because I'm older than
yeah.
him, he's the younger guy, and I'm like, when he said this to me, I'm like, what is he talking about? You know, I haven't known this guy for 10 years, and he'd known right. people for 15, 16 years and never gave them an opportunity like that. So when he gave me the opportunity,
right.
you know, I was shaking in my boots. I was shivering. And I'm saying to myself,
yeah.
when I met Jonathan, that's what I call Jonathan right now more than I call Travis, because the more I talk to Jonathan, the more I get to know Travis, because Jonathan
okay.
has been with Travis since the beginning. So when I called him,
okay.
said, hey, well, here's what Travis said. And then Jonathan will say, that's not what Travis wants. So the more I talk to Jonathan, the more I know about Travis. The more
yeah.
insight I talk about the book, he'll say, well, Travis, you know, wouldn't want that, you know. So I'm learning the ins and outs, the do's and the don'ts, you know, so I can come back to Travis and say, hey, this is, you know, this is what it is. And then Travis will say, you know, Dad, so you know you're getting it. He don't say it out loud,
mm-hmm.
but he'll say it 3 or 4 weeks later and say, hey, Terrence, you're getting it, you know, because I understand
mm-hmm.
that the industry, it's very, very slimy, you know.
Yeah.
It's extremely dirty, and they'll, you know, cut your back out in a minute just to get a full step ahead of you. So, from you know, me learning from Jonathan, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's wonderful. It really is.
If I could get in, that's why it's like, John, you still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. John has
you're
been with
quiet,
me.
You're the quiet one, huh?
Yeah, he's a quiet, calculated thinker. John has been with me since September 9th, 1999. 9/9/99 is when I first met him. And, you know, we had a connection with video games. You know, we went to the same school, and this new video game, Dreamcast, came out. You know, it was the big rave at the time. So I went to pick mine up, and at the bus stop on the way back to school, you know, I saw John there with his father. So I started speaking to his father, and we were talking about John, and, you know, me and his father instantly clicked. His father's, you know, a jazz musician. And he told me, he said, promise me you'll look after my son. Make sure nothing happens to him. So I made that promise, and I've kept it to this day. So every time I had a harebrained idea or I had some off-the-wall business scheme, the first person I call is John. John, how can we make this happen? How can we do this? We started a comic book, you know, out of our dorm rooms. John, how can we do this? How can we do that? We had a boxing magazine. We wanted to do a music, you know, website called 16bars.com. Everything I've had, John has always been there. He's the one who can really calm me down when I go off on a tangent, you know, because he knows me. And like Karen said, you know, John knows Travis wouldn't want that. Travis would like this. Travis wouldn't want that. So I'll let John speak on that further, but John is like my brother, for real.
Well, to elaborate a little bit on that, yeah, we met on the 69th Street bus terminal. But even before that, it seemed that we were meant to link up because I think it was a few years after that we were talking about Johnson & Wales University and how we both got accepted to the same campus.
Oh, that's right. It was free.
And I said, well, if we didn't meet here, we would have met there. And it just seems that, like he said, every harebrained scheme, every idea, he's calling me, and I'm here. Like, I'm the person who's really just trying to make things happen. I'm always thinking. I'm always trying to learn. I'm a student at heart. It just means that I'm never satisfied. And for as long as I've been doing things, I've been getting better and better and better, but I'm still not where I want to be. And with Kay Smith, that really gives me the opportunity to further expand my own talents. Like, for example, in my time with Kay Smith, I mean, I've discovered that I have some writing talent as well. I really don't push on it as much as Travis does because I'm usually the graphic guy. So I'm the one who really, you know, sits down with Travis and Terrence and brings the vision that was words to visual. And it just is, I can't say it's been tough. It's been a learning experience, and it's fun also. And, you know, when Travis goes off on the deep end and he goes off, I'm there because I'm grounded. Each one of us in Kay Smith, we take a different approach to things. We always manage to come together because deep in our hearts we know that what we do is honest and what we do is true. We believe in ourselves and we believe that what we bring forth to the people will be good. It will be hard-hitting content that people can identify with and feel, hey, they put out something good. Of course we did, because we're trying really hard to make sure that it's
right.
Authentic as possible.
Exactly.
It's just true, and I only see it getting better, but Lord willing, we're going to make it happen, because if we wouldn't have, we wouldn't still be together now.
Right.
You know, we're going to keep pushing until we get there.
Rewind on something. Like he was saying, Johnson's never satisfied. Travis definitely is not satisfied, because you got to understand, when you open this book, when you see the front cover, the bottom of this cover says the Black Poe. That means this guy has returned. He's not satisfied. I'm not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Jonathan a couple of days ago, and I said, Jonathan, I said, there's something wrong with the book cover. And I know John remembered me recalling this. And I said, something is not matching up. So, again, I came to John with the information I had on my mind, and he said to me, Travis wouldn't have done that. You know, he explained to me, you know, why I feel that way. Because we didn't go out and spend all these thousands of dollars on a very, very, very high glossy book cover. And then when I think about it, we did this ourselves. And you would not believe how this book cover is going to turn out. I mean, this book cover has turned out wonderful. You know, and we did this book cover on a fly. We went down to Sand City. And we did this book cover with a regular standard digital camera. And I'm saying this because I don't want nobody to think in a couple of months from now, oh, this cover is hot. We did this, we did this. And they ask me, you know, on the bus or walking down the street, you know, how did y'all manage to do this? You know, we spent thousands of dollars. I'm not, anything that Kay Smith Entertainment does, I'm not going to lie about it. Okay? I was almost recognized on the bus with this book, and I'm kind of glad I got away from it. You know, I opened up the book, and a young lady said, "Is that you?" And I said, "No, that's not me." I said, "That's not me." He said, "You sure?" And I said, "Look, I got a mole on my right side of my face." And I said, "No, that's not. I got a brother." I said, "I got a twin brother." And she was like, she was getting off the car. She said, "That is you." I was like, "No, that is not me." I said, "Thank you for asking." You know, I said, "The book will be out very soon, but you know, I'll be there when I see you, because I see her a lot of times on the when I go to work." So it's like I said, it's. Lady, it's going to be a wonderful ride, and I'm trying to go all the way. In the back of a book, he has the prologue, Behind the Mask of Insanity. I've been waiting for that book. I don't know what you attract.
I'm waiting for that book, too.
I've been waiting for that book.
Yeah.
Wait, how long has that book, what's that, 5 years now or 4 years I've been writing that book?
Maybe. Oh, at least 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and also,
that one you gotta do.
But before we talk about that book, let's get into In the Heart of the City now. So I know the listeners are like, okay, I want to hear about this book.
Yeah.
All right.
So let me just say something Travis. Let me just say something right quick. There is a caller on the line, who is calling in from. He is a poet and an author out of South Carolina.
Okay.
So I do want him to hear your excerpt, and then I want to bring him in because I'm sure he's going to have some things that he wants to say and questions that he wants to ask. So, Verbal, please know that I do see you on the line and that your hand is up, but I'm going to have Travis read an excerpt from his book right now.
All right, let me give you a brief disclaimer real quick. This excerpt I'm going to read is pretty graphic, but it falls in line with the tone of the book. You know, it's everything that I put in this book through research, through talking to people. You know, and I wanted it to be realistic. You know, I wanted every fight, every murder, every love scene, every ounce of anything in this book, I wanted to be realistic. So the excerpt we're going to read is from the Russian hitman named Alexander Solonik, and he's on the job in London, England. Now, this guy, he's the character in the book that everyone's going to love to hate, because of his no-nonsense approach to getting the job done. Okay, let me read this excerpt. It's about 4 pages. I'll try not to be too long-winded. Alexander Solonik, London, England. The time on his wristwatch read 11 p.m. He slowly slid his black leather gloves down over his hands carefully until each finger was firmly implanted within their proper place. London fucking England, he thought as he gathered his tool bag from the trunk of his dark blue Mercedes Benz. I really hate this city, a bunch of tea-drinking fags that have forgotten how to be real men. Back home in Mother Russia, if men drink tea like that, he would have his tongue ripped from his mouth. Supas. Alexander Solonik walked up to the front of the house and proceeded to pick the lock on the wooden security door. With little effort, the tumbler was broken, and he entered the house. Alexander moved throughout the house as quiet as a church mouse, checking each of the downstairs rooms for any signs of life. To his regret, all was clear. Seeing that the prey was nowhere to be found, Alexander started to make his way up the stairs to check the bedrooms. With each step, Alexander's jaws tightened. His breathing became shallower, and his thoughts turned extremely deadly. He had a job to do. Failure for him was not an option. Intel provided him with all the specifics for this assignment. David Cummings, English politician, 35 years of age. Sarah Cummings, wife of David Cummings, 27 years of age. And Thierry Cummings, son of David and Sarah Cummings, 6 years of age. Alexander made his way to David and Sarah's bedroom. The door was open slightly, allowing them auditory access to Thierry's room should he call out to them. Alexander peered inside the room to find Mr. and Mrs. Cummings engaged in the act of lovemaking. He stopped for a moment to admire the way that Mrs. Cummings moved her ass as she rode her husband's British cock. Alexander's amused smile slowly turned into an icy cold snarl, and he quietly strolled into the room. He pulled out a 9mm handgun and ordered the couple to stop making love at once. He then proceeded to give them instructions in a thick Russian accent. The first thing you need to do is shut the fuck up. If I hear a sound out of either of you, I will cut out your tongues and feed them to your little boy. Alexander turned his face towards Mrs. Cummings and continued, I saw the way you give your husband your pussy. Now I want you to give me your pussy the same way. Stand up. Mrs. Cummings screamed and shook her head no. While she was screaming, Mr. Cummings reached underneath his pillow and pulled out a small pistol. Alexander quickly turned and fired 4 shots, striking Mr. Cummings 3 times in the chest and once in the head. Mrs. Cummings scrambled off of the bed onto the floor. She tried to make a mad dash for the door, but she was stopped dead in her tracks. Alexander grabbed her by the hair and threw her back up against the wall. Sarah Cummings begged and pleaded with Alexander to let her go. "Please, sir," she cried with tears streaming down her face, "I have a little boy. Think about my son. You took my husband away from me. Please do not take me away from my baby boy." Alexander smiled at her and then spit in her face. "Your pathetic cries for mercy do nothing to move me. To me, all sukkahs are the same. And you should not worry about your son. He will be joining you in death shortly." Alexander picked up Mrs. Cummings and threw her back onto the bed. He struck her repeatedly with the handle of his gun until she was no longer able to physically move. Then in an act of sadistic madness, Alexander placed the barrel of the gun inside of her vagina and penetrated her repeatedly before pulling the trigger. He then removed the barrel of the gun and licked it dry. Alexander unscrewed the silencer and placed it along with the handgun back into his tool bag. He left the room just as he had entered it, silently, carefully making sure not to touch a thing. He turned his head and stared down to Thierry's room, which was about 20 feet to the left of him. Alexander quickly walked towards the child's bedroom. Once inside, he noticed that the bed was empty. He searched under the bed and in the closet for the boy, but the boy was nowhere to be found. Flush. Alexander spun his head around quickly and realizing the boy was in the bathroom. He ran towards the hallway. There he saw Thierry walking out the bathroom with his favorite teddy bear in his arms. He walked towards Thierry with his hands behind his back. He called out to the boy, but Thierry could not hear him. He realized that Thierry was a child without hearing. Alexander walked up behind Thierry and turned him around. Upon seeing Alexander, Thierry's startled little body started to quake, dropping the teddy bear to the plushly carpeted floor. Fear gripped Thierry's lungs and legs, rendering him speechless and sadly motionless. "Mommy," Thierry croaked coarsely, "Mommy, please help me." Alexander looked into Thierry's eyes, his face expressionless. His eyes were even colder than before. He stood in front of Thierry, contemplating what choices he had now to make. Alexander dropped his bag to the floor. He knelt down in front of the boy until they looked into each other's eyes. Finding his voice with tears streaming from his eyes down his face, Thierry asked Alexander, "Mister, are you going to kill me?" Without hesitation, Alexander answered him, "Yes. Yes, boy, I am going to kill you." Thierry closed his eyes and began to cry silently, uncontrollably. Alexander grabbed the child in his arms, placed one hand on Thierry's chin and the other hand on the back of his head. Snap. In a fraction of a second, Alexander twisted Thierry's head, snapping his neck. He picked up the lifeless body and carried it back into Thierry's bed and placed the teddy bear beside him. He then reached into his bag and pulled out a bottle of flammable liquid. Methodically, Alexander spread the liquid evenly throughout the room down to the front entrance. He struck a match and tossed it into the air. It landed on the floor and instantly caught, causing the house to go up in flames. As quietly as he came, Alexander disappeared through the flames into the night. "Boss, the job is done. That English sukkah and his family are no more." "Good, Alexander. You have done well. Now hurry back. I have some bad news to tell you about your brother Nikolai in America." "Okay, boss. I come now." And that's the end of the chapter.
Okay.
Yep.
Well.
Yeah, that scene, and it's funny. That character, you know, it was, there was a real hitman. His name is the Iceman, Ted Kaczynski. And I watched so many documentaries on this guy because I wanted to get insight to how a real hitman thinks. And so I based some of this character off of him, you know, that cold calculating way of doing things, you know, knowing you have a job to do and not really caring. Now, the one rule that I allow my Russian character to break is that most hitmen and most, you know, assassins don't kill innocents. They don't touch women. They don't touch children. That's a no-no because they consider them defenseless and can't fight back. But my character, he just doesn't care. You know, if he has a job to do, there's no life that he won't take. And, you know, to further research for him, I was working with Verizon Wireless, and I was in one of our Circuit City locations. And there was a Russian gentleman that came in, and I heard him speaking, so I quickly ran over to him. And I said, "Excuse me, sir, here are you talking. Where are you from?" He said, "Well, I'm originally from Kiev, you know, and that's where this character is from. You know, they have a base in Kiev." So we started talking, and I asked him some things. I said, "Well, how do Russian men think? You know, how do they drink? How do they make love to their women? How do they this?" And he was looking at me strange, like, "Okay, why are you asking me how we make love to our women?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm writing a book, and I'm doing research for this character." And he said, "Oh, okay." So we talked for a good hour. And, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, are Russian men really tough? He said, no, not all Russian men are tough, but our accents give us the, you know, give us that impression that we're tough. So, you know, I got his phone number and everything. He said, when your book comes out, please send me a copy because, you know, I would like to read it to see if you did, you know, did the Russian men justice. So I hope he likes it when he gets it.
But that just goes
into the research. And, you know, even with, like, the Japanese, you know, Japanese character, you know, I picked your brain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, mm-hmm. Because it's, I never, you know, as an author, I want to become a literati. Literati is an author who's ascended to the highest level of the profession. And, you know, I never want to put anything out that's not authentic. You know, if I'm going to represent the Spanish culture or the Japanese culture or the Russian culture, I want someone of that ethnic background to read that and say, you know what, he did a good job. This is how we act. Mm-hmm. This is how, not as a whole, not to generalize them, but this is how this person, this profession would act if he's part of this demographic. You know, that's why I did the book the way I did.
Well, again, Travis, I the thing that I appreciate about you is you just don't write off the cuff. You do your research. I mean, even when you go back to Poison Ivy, you know, you have a background, you know, also in psychology and all. And so when you write about, you know, a person that has multiple personalities, you're able to really create that. And that's what drew me into your style of writing. There are some people that think it's dark and, you know, it's too intense for them, you know, and this and that. But, you know, for me, as an avid reader and a book reviewer, I can tell that you do your research, and it's not something that you just write. And so, you know, and you know, of course, I'm partial to this particular novel because, you know, like I said, I played a role in, you know, from beginning to end, you know, of this book. But I'm going to bring in the caller, Travis, if you don't mind.
Okay. Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, Verbal Skills, your line is open. You're on the air with Travis Fox and the K. Smith Entertainment Group.
Yes, a very good afternoon all the way from sunny South Carolina. How's everybody?
How you doing, good brother? We're doing good, man.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the show, Lady Flavor, and I finally get to hear the guy you've been bragging about that you've been part of a book for about the last, 4 months? She really been bragging on you, Travis, and it seems that you've done a very good job. As I was listening, you are one of the few authors, artists, creative people that really be on your grind, man. And it's amazing to hear somebody else, because I, too, am an author. And, you know, you just can't create something and just put it up on a website and hope that people will flock to you, and, you know, you wonder why nobody's buying your book. You really got to get out there, and like you said, you got to search, and you got to do a whole lot of things to generate the want or the desire for your book to be out there.
Right.
And it was very good to hear, you know, there's somebody else that think along the same lines that I do when it comes to the marketing. Because writing a book, that's the easy part. But getting somewhere where you can market it, that's the hard part. And that's what I wanted to say. I give you many, many kudos, bro. Keep doing your thing. And Lady Flavor, if you don't mind, can you pass along my contact information? Because, you know, I too have a show, and, you know, you and I, we do network together, and I would like
mm-hmm.
to give these brothers some exposure as well. But it isn't about me or nothing. This your day, Travis, along with your two companions. You know, all three of y'all, man, it's great to hear this. It's even inspiring me, you know, because I was sitting there listening, reviewing what have I done. Did I miss something? You know what I'm saying? Did I miss something somewhere? So I'm going back to review what I've been doing. So that's basically all I want to say. And keep doing what you're doing. And if you need any help, just look up Verbal Skills. I'm on Facebook. I'll be more than willing to do what I can.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much, brother. I truly appreciate that.
It's no problem, man. That's what, as Lady Flavor would tell you, I'm always, you know, politicking, getting up, you know, saying artists got to support each other because
right.
It's very important. But how can you support an artist when they're sitting back on their butt, you know, not wanting to do anything for themselves?
Yeah, exactly.
They want other people to do it and don't want to get on their grind, you know, think the world owes them something. We owe the world as an artist to open up their minds to what we to the messages that we get. Like I said, I'm going to shut up, fall back. Gentlemen, it was great listening to you. I'm going to fall back, and actually I'm about in transit. So, you know, y'all keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Verbal. Do you want me to just put you back on mute again?
I'm going to go ahead and fall back. And gentlemen, it was a pleasure meeting you once again. And if I'm up in the Philadelphia area, I'm going to look y'all up for real.
Yeah, man, we treat you to a cheesesteak. Come on up here.
I can't go now, man. I miss a Philly cheesesteak, man. That thing's good. Wow. I hadn't had a real one since I used to box, by the way, way back in the day. I know y'all might have heard of a Philadelphia boxer named Joe Pinklin Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was his first professional fight up in Philly, and I had me win them Philly cheesesteaks. I should have had two because he won on a decision, but that's that's a long time ago. But, fellas, you know, as an author, I'm telling you this. I appreciate y'all's story. I appreciate, you know, you telling everybody how to get there. Because the way y'all doing it, you're going to get there. And I wish you and your company and everything much success. So I'm going to fall back now and get ready to hit the road. And peace and blessings be to y'all. Lady Flavor, we'll holler.
All right, baby.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that was so, Steve Travis, I've been talking about you. I've been talking about you.
Wow, that was awesome, man. Yeah, we definitely have to connect with him. Definitely. Wow. You know.
He's good people. And the thing that I love about Verbal Skills is the fact that, you know, he's like me. You know, he's very, very sincere about supporting others. You know, he's run into bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, he's had to learn, you know, to fall back, you know, on certain things. He, too, you know, is learning and growing, being a part of the literary community. He is another author like you, Travis, that is wanting to branch outside of the normal box, you know, of an African-American writer. And he's recently, you know, doing some pieces that are, you know, in half Spanish and half English. Things like that, you know, and, you know, he too does his research. And he's got an amazing, amazing vocabulary. You know, I'm like, okay, Verbal, what does that word mean? You know, I find that I need to keep my dictionary next to me when he and I talk, you know. But he's very kind. He's very kind, just like you, Travis, and you know, he'll explain certain things to me. So I have definitely learned and grown from my relationship with him. But, you know, I think that the beauty of who you are is, you know, you have learned and grown. You know, you and I have both experienced, you know, some mess being a part of the literary community. We got on board with some people that weren't worth getting on board with, but we learned from that. And we now know and have the tools, you know, what direction we need to take and what needs to be taken for in the heart of the city, you know. And it sounds like you have an amazing team, you know, and, you know, I'm proud to also be a part of your team, too, Travis. So, man, we just got to make this happen. So I know that you need to, you know, get off the line and go celebrate Deuce's birthday.
Yeah, but, little man is one. Wow, 1 year old.
So can I just ask a quick question? So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, you as part of the literary community as an author, and you're, you know, evolving and now having K. Smith Entertainment, which, by the way, is named after Kia Smith.
Yes.
And if you could just speak on right quick, where is it that you want to go, you know, with K. Smith after In the Heart of the City? And then the last thing I just want to finish up is, you know, when we talk about Black Poe and we talk about Travis Fox, you know, who is Travis Fox outside of being an author? So where is it that you want to go with, you know, with K. Smith after In the Heart of the City is really released?
After it's released with K. Smith Entertainment, I want to become a fully functioning entertainment company. I want to do, you know, published novels, magazines. I also want to get into comic books and graphic novels. Then, you know, I've been working on it for years. I'm trying to, you know, really learn and teach myself. I'm going to take some classes. I want to produce films out of K. Smith Entertainment. And I have a 5-year plan. I'm getting ready to go back to school, and I'm going to finally go into law school, and I'm going to get my law degree in entertainment law, contractual law, things of that nature. I want to become an agency so I can represent, you know, young authors, young musicians, young poets and poetesses, if that's the word, and I'm an English major, who want to get out there but who don't have proper representation. Because, you know, being in the entertainment field, it's tough. You know, it's really tough, and you can only learn but so much by Wikipedia or, you know, by Google. So I want to take these proper steps and proper channels so that way I can not only help, you know, K. Smith Entertainment help all of us, but I can help everyone else out there who don't have, you know, who don't have the proper means to do so. So we're looking at that right now. You know, we have, you know, this book dropping, In the Heart of the City, which is the first book of probably a 3-5 book series. I haven't decided yet. It all depends on the success of this book. I've been doing research, and I've been looking around at, you know, different film producers and film developers, you know, in the city at the local universities, taking your advice, and around there who wants to get into doing, you know, doing a movie with a character like this, you know, a character like this in the book. And so, you know, other than that, it's just to live, you know, live and get myself, you know, really back to the point, you know, where I'm really happy in my life. You know, I'm working on it. I'm getting there. And this book and this radio show and, you know, having you guys as friends is going a long way to helping me. And let's see, who is the Black Pole? And, you know, who is Travis Fox? I'm just a, you know, just a regular guy. You know, that's all I am. You know, I'm not a man without faults. You know, I have a lot of faults, and, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, mentally and physically that, you know, I deal with, you know, on a constant basis. You know, I didn't grow up, you know, silver spoon in the mouth. I grew up in a, you know, pretty rough neighborhood. I, you know, lost a lot of friends along the way, and, you know, there were some instances and situations where I too probably wouldn't be here, you know, if I would have, you know, stepped to the left instead of stepped to the right. So, you know, I grew up hard. That's why, you know, I wanted you to play that song Trouble Man, because that I probably listen to that song at least 10 times a day, because it really speaks to me and it speaks to who I am. You know, and you know this, and, you know, John and all those guys know it. When I get, you know, when I get inside of a certain mood or if something's really bothering me, I flee. I'm a fleer. And because I don't like my friends and, you know, my close family members to see me down, you know, because everyone's so used to seeing me happy or seeing me, you know, the helping Travis. So I flee, and that, you know, that's the point. I had a rough, you know, past few months. I really, really was going through something. So, you know, this book, in more ways than one, is helping me, you know. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, in the Most High. You know, my faith is really strong. So, it's hard talking about my stuff because I don't usually do. I usually talk about everybody else. But just know that also I'm a avid boxing fan and boxer and mixed martial artist. So, you know, if you ever need me to type somebody up, all you do is call me. No, I'm actually going to get back into training. One of my goals, like, I have a bucket list, And one of my goals is to compete in a professional either mixed martial arts fight or professional kickboxing match. So that's something I'm also working towards. I want to be a fighter. Just to see if I get knocked out, I get knocked out. If I win, I win. But just once, I want to get out there and do it because, you know, my progress was halted, you know, when I went away to college at 18. So I can figure out have a Rocky comeback and maybe do something. I can give him verbal skills. He can train me. So, you know, he can get out there and rumble. Yep.
Well, I appreciate this time with you, Travis. I appreciate, you know, your willingness to share. And you know, when it came to your personal stuff, that was up to you what you wanted to share with the listening audience.
With me, you know, with that, if what I'm going through personally, you know, if someone else can look at that and say, oh, man, I'm going through the same things too. Like I've dealt with depression, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. You know, I've dealt with, you know, extremely severe, you know, depression. Because, you know, my father, you know, he's locked up. And, you know, it's so there are a lot of things that I deal with. And that's why, you know, when I write Urban Lit, I don't like to write a lot of the same stories that other authors are writing because I've lived it, you know. And when you live something like that, you know, it brings back, you know, terrible memories. You know, a lot of authors write about the guns and the drugs and the prostitution, but they're living in plush, gated communities. You know, they're living in the suburbs and never did any of that, so they're making a mockery, in my opinion, of lives that people actually go through. You know, I've been through all those things, and I can sit and I can tell people, you know, how to get out of that. You know, how to have to cope with burying, you know, your best friend. How to have to cope with, you know, burying young people that you mentor. You know, I can tell people about those things. So that's why, you know, when I write a novel like Poison Ivy, you know, that a lot of that was from personal experience. You know, I've mentored, mm-hmm. and I was very close friends with the young lady who was going through those things. You know, I've been inside of crack houses. I've been inside of drug houses. You know, I had family members who were pimps, real pimps. You know, I tell this, my father, you know, he was getting ready to go to prison, getting ready to go to jail. And I tell this for edification, not to put him down, not to do anything, but just for edification. He came, you know, came one night and he was crying, and I think I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and, you know, he was, you know, going there for drug possession, and he got high one last time, and he still had the cocaine powder on his nose when he came to see me. So that's a lasting, burning image that I always have in my brain. So, I mean, I take all of those things that I've went through in my life, you know, depression, you know, thoughts of suicide and all those things, and I wrote it into my writing because I want my readers to actually know me. I want them to know the author that is the Black Pole, that is Travis Fox. Like, wow, you know, when I read his work, I know he put his blood, sweat, and tears into this. You know, I know he's not just writing to take money out of our pockets. I know he's not just writing to make himself rich and famous because, honestly, I don't care about none of that stuff. You know, there's a quote, you know, what profit a man to gain the whole world should he lose his soul? You know, I'd rather have my soul, and I'm working to get it pure so I can be the man that the Most High wants me to be, that I have to be for my son and for my family, as opposed to being some guy who's on Facebook or on MySpace or Twitter tweeting about nonsense and trying to get as many groupies and whatever as he can. That's not me. This is real life, and I'm trying to help as many people as I can and in turn help myself. So, you know, for all the listeners out there, you know, that's who Travis Fox is. That's who the Black Pope is. I'm a man, you know. I have flaws. But I'm trying to be the best that I can be.
Well, and I appreciate that, Travis. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put this out to Terrence and Jonathan. I have honestly asked Travis to give you guys my phone number. Travis and I have been friends for 5 years. You know, and we met through, you know, Poison Ivy, through another writer online. And, you know, we're very, very, you know, good friends and very close friends. And we've shared a lot of life with each other, strangely enough, from one coast to another, you know. But Travis knows it bothers me when he does his little disappearing acts. I always know he comes back. You know, but it bothers me. So I said, okay, you need to give somebody out there, you know, my phone number so they can just let me know that you're okay. So So anyway, with that said, you know, I appreciate, you know, you guys all coming on and sharing. Again, you know, just know that you have my full support as Lady Flava, Susan Koshy, you know, through Flava News, whatever it is that I can do to play a role in the success of what the three of you are doing, what you're creating, in the success of, you know, In the Heart of the City to, I'm really, really hoping Travis is going to re-release Poison Ivy because, honestly, that's one of my most favorite books that I have ever read.
I'll give you an exclusive right here on Flava Coffee House Lady Flava Radio Show. Poison Ivy is in the works to be re-released. And also, I'm going to write a screenplay to go along with this novel. So there will be a new Poison Ivy novel, and there will be a Poison Ivy movie.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, if anybody can really, really handle a psychological, you know, urban thriller, that's what I call it, I really suggest that you read Poison Ivy because that book will just have you tripping. You're like, okay, what in the hell did I just read? Mm-hmm. Like, and Travis knows this, you know, when I had my coffee house, my physical building, I sold books of self-published authors, and Travis was one of the first books that I got a case of to sell in my coffee shop. Strangely enough, it was only white customers that bought the book. But, and Travis, you know, had some contact with those readers that bought his book. But even in those readers, they said they had to read it again. They loved it. You know, they read it again and they shared it with other people. And so that book's a trip, but it's a trip in a good way because it just takes you into a different direction. Before you leave, Travis, I want to ask, will you ever write something that's good feel and you know, make people, like, smile?
Maybe. I don't know. No, actually, I am, because I want to pen a novel in every different genre, every different topic, every different category. You know, because it's like Edgar Allan Poe, my main influence, and he could do that. You know, he could write the poems about love like he wrote to his darling Eleanor. He could write The Raven. He can write detective novels. He can write horror. So that's what I want to do. Hopefully, you know, probably not this year or next year. I do want to write, you know, a young adult series or maybe a children's series, something that, you know, my son can read. Something that, you know, his school can read. I have to look at him now, and he's going to influence that. So, yeah, I'm going to make people smile. I'm going to make people laugh instead of just making people cry and scratch their head like, wow, this guy's crazy. Look at what he's writing.
Yeah, because I think about, like, Stephen King and something, and you're like, oh, my God, has he got a warped mind? Like, where does that stuff come from? You know? And,
yeah.
Yeah. I know I sent Poison Ivy out to Alabama, you know, just to a reader, and she was like, Flava, I couldn't finish it. That book was just too dark and scary for me. So, I mean, everybody, you know, to each their own. But, you know, this Travis Fox, you know, a.k.a. Black Poe, is definitely somebody, you know, to explore, you know, and get to know as far as just a really, really... what would I say, just a writer who puts a lot of thought and time into his books. You know, again, it's not written off the cuff. There's research, you know, there's just time. And you know, as Terrence said, you know, talking, you know, and conversations around what this should look like and feel like and the authenticity to it being real. You know, versus, you know, make-believe. And so that's what you can definitely expect if you get your copy of In the Heart of the City. Travis, tell people, now, is the book actually out and released? And if so, where can they get it?
All right, the book, I jumped the gun a little bit, you know, and these guys can get mad at me if they want, but we put it live because I just wanted it to be live. It's been so long. I've dealt with so many rejection letters from agents. I've dealt with so much BS from other publishing companies who wanted the story, but they wanted to change this. So I dealt with it. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to put it live just to show that we don't need anybody else but us. But I took it back off, so now we're touching up, doing the finishing touches, because when we put this book out collectively, we all want to make sure that this is our best effort. Now, is it going to be perfect? No, because we don't have $5,000-$10,000 to spend on it. But it's going to be a novel that we're proud of. It's going to be a novel that all the readers are proud of. So June 15th is the official release date for the novel. It will be out. It will be available for sale on Lulu.com. And also, we just, John, did the website go up yet?
Working on it right now.
All right, well, the website should be done, if not tonight, tomorrow. Flavor, you'll have all the information. You can buy it directly from us on the website. And if you're close enough, we may even show up at your front door and take pictures and autograph and deliver it to you personally.
Okay, yeah. I'm not close enough, but could you do that for me?
With John and Terrence, how much have I been saying we got to get to Seattle?
A lot.
For quite a long time. And it's been a ride, and I really think that we're going to get there. This is not something that we're making a point. We're going to get there, period. Whatever we say we're going to do,
yeah,
we get there. So
you're
going
to get here. Y'all got to come to Flava's house. You definitely have to come to my house. We definitely have to set up some book signings, and you know, maybe we can even get Poe on the mic. You know, freestyle or do some spoken word for us, because you know he tries to hide that side of him. But, y'all have to come out and let me cook for you and this and that. And I'm going to let you know, Travis, I believe this is right. You know how people can call in and you raise your hand if you want to talk to the host, and then otherwise you can sit and listen. I believe this is my daughter Mariko that's been sitting on the whole show.
Put her on.
You know, let me just see if this is her by chance. Call us from the prefix 250. You're on the air with Travis Fox and Lady Flava. Hello?
Hello?
250? 206? Are you silent on me? Do you have me on mute? Anyway, okay. Maybe they don't want to talk.
Superstar. Where's she at? I would love to talk to her. I told her she's going to be famous.
I believe it's her. Well, you know how you like have people's numbers, like, hello? Hello? Is that you? Anyway. Mariko's been talking it up and telling people, you know, about the fact that, you know, she's getting ready to come out in a book. So Mariko has a character in this book along with Terrence and, you know, my daddy, Takamichi, he's got a role in this book. So
he's
got to buy this.
Because,
you know, like Terrence was talking about, you know, the character he is in the book is nothing like the character of who he is in real life. So, you know, definitely, you know, my daughter to my daddy, who is a Japanese Baptist minister, no, the characters are nothing like who they are in the book, you know, but that's exciting. But, Travis, I know that you need to go and, you know, hang out with, you know, your baby boy. Please give him a big kiss. And maybe one day, you know, in, you know, our lifetime, I'll get to meet him in person, which I would love. Oh, you know what? Oh, okay, you can't go yet. Somebody's calling from Skype.
I don't think anything matters.
Okay, caller from the 111. You're on the air with Travis Fox and Lady Flava.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
This is Chocolate. Hi.
Hey, Chocolate, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. What a nice surprise to have you call into my show.
Well, you told me to call in on Facebook, so I thought while I'm sitting here, I should do it before I log off.
You know what's funny?
What's funny?
There's a character in the book whose name is Chocolate as well.
I just was about to say that.
Really?
Is she nice?
Oh, she's nice.
Oh boy.
she's nice. She's
really good. Nice.
She's awesome. I don't want to give it away, but she plays a very important part in the beginning of the story.
Nice. I can dig it.
Mm-hmm. So maybe Chocolate, maybe you should tell the young men out there in Philadelphia who you are.
My name is Chocolate. I'm a singer-songwriter that I reside in Seattle, but I kind of go all over with the music, and I just dropped my second record in, let's see, what's that, May of 2009, and I just dropped a new video for Grown Folks, which is a single off the record with Malcolm Jamal Warner, and I work in music.
So Travis and Jonathan and Terrence, Chocolate's a big deal out here in Seattle. And, you know, she is, like, a really, really big deal out here. And, you know, we're very, very proud to represent her. I've got her, you know, tracks being played, you know, in Atlanta and in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. and Chicago. And people are, like, really, really digging her sound. So, Chocolate, I didn't know if I had told you, but I've been sharing your music with some of our sister stations.
Oh, nice.
So that's, yeah. And she just finished doing a cruise. She did a showcase down in Florida. And stuff. And so, you know what, Chocolate, if you don't mind, well, I still have Travis and the guys on the line from Philadelphia. I'm going to play one of your tracks. Is that okay, Travis?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Oh, that's fine with me.
Okay, so this is Miss Chocolate Moore out of Seattle, Washington with her track, Grown Folks.
Try. yourself.
That should be inspiration right there to write a sweet character in a book.
Whew, man.
That was sexy.
Oh, un chocolate muy, muy caliente.
Wow.
Man, you got me speaking Spanish. Wow. That was
I'll have to. I'll have to send you Chocolate's new video with Malcolm Jamal Warner because, Chocolate, when I sent it to Dwayne at Soul City Radio in Baltimore, he was like, oh, my God. He's like, Flav, I had to watch that over and over.
That's funny. Wow. That's normally not the character I play, so I'm blushing, but I'm glad people like it.
Wow, I mean,
blushing?
I can.
I'm sorry?
Wow, that was good.
Chocolate, I have a question for you. Who inspired you to write, and how long have you been writing?
As far as inspiration, I think I probably take more inspiration from like everyday situations, and I really like the way that, say, like a Sam Cooke used to write, Marvin Gaye. I love the way he wrote, Stevie Wonder, more intricate styles of writing. Versus a really more simple approach are my favorites. Like, I really like the writers that you have to listen to the lyrics and you have to really, but they don't sound corny. You know, sometimes people try and write, but if they're writing about something more than a typical, like, love topic or whatever, that it sounds a bit contrived. So I like writers who are able to write about things that don't oftentimes have a melody, but it's something that you want to listen to or whatever. And then, you know, I've been writing for maybe 6 years, I think. 5, 6 years. Since I first started. So since, actually 2006 is when I really started taking it serious and doing it professionally.
So did you ever, like, get, like, inspiration to write, like, let's just say, like, if you're in a relationship, because a lot of writers, female writers, I notice, write about things that they've been through or things that they're going through, like Beyonce. I believe when her and Jay-Z actually, I guess before they got together, because my friend, songwriter woman, she's also a writer, and she was telling me, you know, how the industry works and how Beyonce wrote a song because of Jay-Z. Do you write like that because of, you know, someone close to you that you love?
You know, my experience with it is morphing as time progresses, and so, you know, my very first record was a very personal record. They all are, honestly. Everything I've ever written is really true to some situation or another, but not always my personal life. And specifically, my love interests or whatever. I don't. I tend to shy away from writing about them. You have to work pretty hard to get a song out of me as far as man is concerned. Like, I don't spend my... And then I don't write about love a lot either. Not love in the traditional sense, you know. I don't write about it a lot. So, yeah, no. I don't. Not these days. I mean, I would. I'd be open to it, I suppose. But at the moment, like, I try to separate the two so that it's not so convoluted. So there's some level of some boundary or something. And so if I'm ever wanting to date someone, they're not in fear of ending up on a record.
Does that make sense?
You're going to put me on the call.
Your listeners to hear, for our females, what do you want your females to hear when you write? How would you inspire them to listen to your music?
Females, you mean?
Yeah, female. I mean, do you target a specific group, a male or female? Do you target
I write real, like, for me, what I enjoy doing is trying to find a melody for some of the most unorthodox subjects in life. Some of the most unorthodox things to hear about in a song. That's kind of what I enjoy writing and talking about. And so this particular song is one of the first times I've ever been so blatantly and obviously, you know, sexual or provocative in a romantic way. I don't normally lend myself to that kind of stuff, but so I don't think there's a specific target for me. I kind of just write what I'm feeling, what the music says to do. If I'm attracted to a beat, I let the beat sort of dictate the cadence and the atmosphere of the song, and then I try and find a subject that's not been approached before to write about, I guess.
Do you write on the fly, or do you take time and say, hey, I'm thinking about this idea, you know, walking around or driving in the car, and I will write it down? Do you acapella yourself? Do you do any things like that?
My writing style is really there's no ledger. Like, I don't have any specific way or another. Like, sometimes I'll have to drive with my knee and get a song out on the freeway, or I'll be running on a treadmill and typing lyrics into my iPhone, or I'll be, on the toilet. And the songs, ideas will just pop into my head, and I'll try and get them out. Sometimes, you know, I'm unprepared, and life has been too busy, and I have a studio session, and I have the beat, but I haven't written a song, and I'll write it 10 minutes outside, you know, in the car before I go in to record it. Or sometimes I write while I'm in the booth recording the song, verse for verse. It just depends.
If you had one male or one female artist in the same group, who would inspire you the most? You know, who inspires you the most?
One guy, I would say probably. That's tough. That's really, really tough. I'll say Willie Hutch.
Oh, he is the man. I'm sorry.
As a guy, and as a female, I would probably say. Shoot, that's tough. I would probably say Lauryn Hill, maybe.
Lauryn Hill.
I would say Lauryn. I mean, Lauryn, during Miss Education, I would say, as far as influence. There's a lot of people that I love artistically, but I don't say that I garner a lot of inspiration per se from a lot of people. I don't have a lot of I don't have a huge point of reference. Like, my mother raised me listening to only gospel music. She would only let me listen to God. That was it. We couldn't listen to anything else. And so because of that, I rebelled, and I didn't even listen to a lot of gospel music. So a lot of my childhood, I was raised without music, literally. So as far as what I'm turned on by now, like, you know, Marvin Gaye and Sam Cooke and you know, the Gap Band, the old music and whatnot, it's new for me, which is kind of embarrassing sometimes, but it is. And so when I approach writing music, I don't approach it from, like, always having had that background. I approach it like, I don't know anything about music. I just posted that matter of fact, I was like, I don't know anything about music, but for whatever reason, it's a plus for me. It allows me to be original in a lot of ways, I think. Like I said, I don't know much about music, so that's just a diagnosis, but I don't know if it's true or not, you know?
So Terrence, I'm gonna play another track of Chocolate since I want to take advantage of the fact that she's on the phone because this is like an amazing surprise for me. And this is the first track that I ever heard of Chocolate. Oh my gosh! A friend of mine brought me her CD to play the Coffee House in North Seattle and says, you know, Susan, I really, really think you're gonna dig this local artist. And, you know, I honestly had not heard about her until John had brought me this CD. So I used to play it all the time at Flavor Coffee House. The other thing that was funny is that I found out that, you know, David Daniels is your brother, and he and I grew up together, so that he's like, Susan, do you know my sister Chocolate? And I'm like, okay. Dude, I've been playing her music for years, David. And stuff. But
I didn't know that. I'm so proud of him. He's amazing.
Flavor.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, amazing. I'm sorry.
So yeah. I gotta run.
Go ahead. Drop off.
I gotta
off.
Get to my party.
But, you know, Terrence, you're gonna stay on, right?
Yeah, Terrence and John, you guys stay on and finish up. Chocolate, it was a pleasure to meet you. I'm you
good
expect, well. Expect a friend request from me.
Okay.
But I really want to communicate with you more and learn about your process.
Find her on Facebook, Chocolate spelled with a K.
Okay.
All right, and I'll send you her video also.
Yeah, please.
But
Travis, before you...
But the other thing that... Oh.
Hey.
John, you just text me afterwards.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
All right, fellas. All right, Sue. All right, Chocolate.
Okay.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be on with you. All right, and I'll talk to all you guys later.
All right, baby.
Bye-bye.
All right, Travis. Bye-bye. The other thing that I wanted to mention about Chocolate, Terrence, is that she did a track with Nas also.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That track, unfortunately. But see, Chocolate, I'll be staying up on you, girl. You just didn't know, huh?
I see. I didn't mean to come on and take over the program. I was just calling to say
it. I appreciate you calling, but you know what? I might as well plug you, too, because I'd be putting you out and to have this opportunity, Chocolate. I might as well take advantage of it if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
But,
I appreciate it.
So, Terrence, I'm going to play the first track I ever heard of Chocolate that I used to play at my coffee house all the time, and this is To Whom It May Concern.
Next time,
this journey taught me things I'd rather. Okay, that was To Whom It May Concern, and that's the very first song that I ever heard.
Nice.
That was yours, Chocolate, and that was, yeah, that was exciting because we used to play it all the time at my coffee shop for people to listen to, and they would come in and say, who's that, you know, and even back then, you know, it was wonderful to be able to say, you know, this young lady's from right here in the Pacific Northwest, so...
Nice.
You know, Verbal Skills is blowing up my phone right now, and he's texting me from South Carolina. He wants you to know that he loves you. The first time that he heard, like, Grown Folk and the tracks that I have, you know, he fell in love with your voice. And,
oh.
And you know, he mentions it a lot on different shows and stuff like that. And so I need to make sure that Verbal Skills has your tracks too, because he has a show out of South Carolina. But yeah, he's like,
nice.
Tell her,
thank you.
I love her music. He says he can actually hear you. He's listening, so he can actually hear you. Verbal.
His name is Verbal Skills.
Come on, Verbal Skills.
Thank you, Verbal Skills, for the love.
let me open up his line since he's actually listening. If I can. Verbal, you can say it directly to Chocolate yourself. Your line's open.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Like I was telling y'all earlier, I'm on the road, right? And I hope to win. Y'all can hear me, right? But Chocolate, oh, girl, keep doing the thing, girl. Lady Flavor would tell you, I was laughing, I was happy. I said, y'all got to cheer me on to her. Yeah.
Nice.
Lady Flavor, please get her contact information, and I would love to promote her as well. Hey, you're having a great show today. I wish I could stay, you know, longer like I usually do. Lady Flavor, you're having a great show. Like I said, I'm on the road trying to get on my grind, you know. But Chocolate,
okay. Keep
doing it, baby. Keep doing it, Chocolate.
Thank you.
Like they say, you're the bomb.
Thank you.
Well, you can actually find out more about Chocolate at www.chocolatemusic.com. And Chocolate spelled with a K. So it's got all the information on there, you know, about her. And I don't know if you've got her on your friends list on Facebook, Verbal, but you can find her on Facebook.
Love that. As soon as I get situated, I will be adding you, Ms. Chocolate. You have a wonderful voice, and keep it up. Don't let nothing stop you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Lady Flavor, I got to get back off. I'm listening, though, but it's kind of, you know, I'm going to these. Okay, then, bye, y'all. Love y'all.
All right, love you, too. Okay, bye-bye.
How you spell your name again?
It's Chocolate. I should have just spelled it the right way, to be honest, but I'm a hip-hop baby, and it's kind of taboo to spell things correctly.
Okay, so it's www.chocolatemusic.com?
Actually, chocolateonline.com, chocolateonline.com.
Okay, chocolateonline.com, okay. Because when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about Flowetry also because they're a very, very, very smooth, mellow group. So listening to your music, the way you flow, I'm like, wow, she reminds me of Floetry, because I listen to them a lot on my Walkman, and they always ask me at the job, they say, you know, Terrence, you in love? And I said, no, I'm just, you know, I'm listening to something that sounds good and sounds, and it makes sense, you know, not rap music, you know, cussing and stuff like that, where you're from and how many people you kill. So it's, your music is very, very releasing, very, very comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you keep digging it. And I have to run because we're about to have a family meeting, but I just wanted to call in and say hey, and thanks for the love, Flavor, and I'm sure we'll get to chat again soon.
It was nice talking to you.
Thank you so much, Douglas.
Nice as well. You all have a great day, okay?
All right, take care.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Lady Flavor, it was definitely a pleasure meeting you and hearing your voice finally, because he did talk about you for a long time. Even before In the Heart of the City came about, you know, he would talk about you. He was like, Lady Flavor, you know, T, I gotta talk to you. We gotta have an interview. And I said, yeah, we will. I said, in due time. I said, we're not gonna rush anything. We're gonna make sure that this book is 90% where it needs to be at before, you know, we get to talk to Lady Flavor. And this is exactly where we are. And it was really a pleasure meeting you. And I look forward to more interviews with you and, you know, possibly a personal meeting face-to-face.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, Terrence, again, you know, I mean, I've been hearing about you for a couple of years now, too. And, you know, I know that Travis has a great, you know, love, appreciation, and respect for you, you know, as
mm-hmm.
a man and as a business partner. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, anything that I can do for the three of you, for K. Smith, you know, entertainment,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm there, you know, because I know that
mm-hmm.
when Travis does something, it's not half-assed. It's very, very well thought through. You know, I have a
right.
tendency maybe to just go out there on a limb and just do something on a whim. That's just
right.
kind of my personality, you know. But when it comes to Travis, I know it's something that, you know, is very, very well thought through, you know. And he and I together and as individuals have grown, you know, in this literary, you know, community, you know, and are finding our true way, you know, of how we want
right.
to do things in being a part of this. So, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, more interviews with you guys, having you featured in my newsletter on my website, to, you know, having you guys come out to Seattle, Washington, so we can do some things out there. And maybe there's a chance I'll get out there to Philadelphia, too. You know, I would love to be able to have that opportunity. So, you know, I started out as a coffee shop owner. That's when Travis knew me, you know, first
mm-hmm.
knew me. And then, you know, here it is. I grew into this Lady Flavor, you know, and my passion is the art and indie artists and the underground and underdogs, you know. So I'm all about just trying, excuse me, to connect and find creative ways to help spread the word, you know, to the masses, not just to people
right.
in somebody's local area, to the masses, you know. And on the Flavor News radio shows, we have listeners not just in the United States. We go international, you know, and you know, the beauty of doing the online radio shows, Terrence, is that if somebody misses it because of the time frame, they can always
uh-huh.
come back and listen to the archives. I'm very blessed. Man, the archive listens that I get is just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, we've got quite a few people listening live right now. We've got quite a few people that are actually in the chat room right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the archives, they're just off the chain. So I'm very, very blessed that people are paying attention to what I'm doing and who I'm trying to spread the word for. And, of course, you know, Travis Fox, a.k.a. Black Poe, you know, a.k.a. K. Smith Entertainment, you know, you're on the top of my list. You know, Travis and I have history, probably the longest history of anybody that I've known online. And so, man, I'm there. Whatever you guys need, you know, all you have to do is say the word.
How would I rekindle? How would I listen to this interview again? Because I'm not familiar with your.
I'm gonna So I will definitely be emailing the link to Travis.
Okay.
If you find me on, are you on Facebook, Terrence?
I didn't hear you.
Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I have a Facebook account, but I just got it, so I'm not. I don't remember everything about my Facebook. I don't remember my online name. So, but
I'm on Facebook.
When you send,
so anyway,
send the link.
I will send the link to Travis.
Okay.
In an email so that you'll be able to listen to it off of there, and then I'll be posting it to his Facebook page too. And then I'll be having it, you know, on my website, which is www.slavanews.com. You know,
okay.
So there, and then you can just come to Blog Talk Radio, to my Slava News on Blog Talk Radio's page, and you'll be able to listen to the archives and pull codes directly off of my page, where you can post it in different places. So there's a variety of ways that you can pull the links.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we've only got 3 minutes left in this show, and this was a great experience. I'm so glad Travis and Jonathan and, you know, Verbal Skills called in, and, you know, he's texting me and just, you know, telling me that this was a great show and that he really appreciated the things that, you know, the three of you shared, you know, as being somebody who's a fellow person in the literary community. So, you know, is there any last things that either you or Jonathan want to share before the show is over?
Say something.
Well,
the listeners want to get out there and contact us. We're on Twitter, K Smith Entertainment. I'm sorry, ENT. So it's K Smith ENT. Check us out on Twitter. Travis has a Facebook, Novelist Black Poet. My Facebook is Jonathan McKnight. You can hit us up through there. Basically, just, we're going to be posting when the book website is going to be up and ready, so just keep your eyes out for that.
And I would like to say that also can reach me at, right now, only thing that's really running smoothly for me is MySpace / Earl1423, or you can email me at www.terrence.com. Daniels, Terrence Earl Daniels at Verizon. That's TerrEarlDaniels at Verizon.net. And also, look out for this book. This book is very, very good. It's very interesting. And I look forward to talking to you guys very, very soon.
Wonderful. So with that said, I want to thank everybody that came out to listen to the show live. To those that were hanging out in the chat room today, to those that called in live, and then to all of you that come back and listen to the archives. This was a very, very special show for me. You know, again, Travis and I, a.k.a. Black Poe, have a history, you know, and my family and I played a role, you know, in the creation of In the Heart of the City. You know, my daddy and my daughter, you know, have characters in the book along with, you know, Travis, Terrence, that's on the line with us right now. And so I really, really encourage you to get this book. If you want to read really fine and professionally written literature, it's much more than what we would call an urban fiction. It goes beyond that. So I'm very, very proud of Travis Fox. Of who he was when I first met him to, you know, who he's evolving into now. So thank you so much for sharing this time. You'll be able to find out more about, you know, what's going on with K. Smith Entertainment and this book on my website at www.slavernews.com. So stay tuned and spread the word. It's not just about who comes to the show right now today. It's about helping me spread the word so that I can spread the word for you. So thank you so much, Terrence and Jonathan, for calling in and sharing time with me today.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to getting to know you better. All righty.
Thank you, ladies.
Have a
great evening.
Oh, no problem. And make sure Travis gives you my phone number, because I want you guys to have my phone number too. So
Yeah,
okay,
when
Travis
is well, disappearing act, you should definitely get in contact with me. I'm usually able to track him down, so yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna find you on Facebook. If I don't find you on Facebook, Jonathan, find me. I'm under Flava News or Lady Flava on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm one of Travis's friends. It shouldn't be too hard to get on me on Facebook. So yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, and I hope to be in contact with you very soon.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye now.